In whose hands have you placed your future? Who do you trust with tomorrow? As an atheist, I would have put my future in my own hands. As a drug addict, you might put your future or your trust in your drugs and alcohol. As a workaholic, you may put your trust and your future in the hands of your work, as if it was the one who's going to provide you with a purpose and an identity. Some people put their future in the hands of the demons, believing a lie that causes them to self-destruct. But I want to talk about you what it means to put your future in the hands of the living God. To put your trust in Him. How many is ready to put your trust in the living God? There's a story that I have shared the last few, probably 5 or 6 Sundays. But it's the story of a group of people called the Hebrews who put their trust in the false idols, the wrong things. And idols, my friends, is not just something that is a sculpture. Idols can be anything that you put before God. They put their trust in the things of foreign gods. And they knew better. They have known the living God, and they had turned away from that living God. As a consequence, God was angry with them, and He took them captive. He allowed Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the greatest empire at the time, and bring them back to Babylon, hundreds of miles away from home. And there, they now lived among the enemies. And they were in need of encouragement. They were in need of hope. They were in need to turn their hearts wholeheartedly unto God. How many need some hope? How many need to know that there is a God who knows the end from the beginning and who has a good plan for you? So there is where Jeremiah comes on the picture. And in Jeremiah 29:10, it says, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. Okay, let's read it again, and let's read it for the 100th times. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you'll call on me and come and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I'll be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. There's a guy called Tony Evans. He pointed this out to me. He said, you know, we often read this like this. Yes, he has a wonderful plan for me. He wants to prosper me. And then he goes on to say, just go back. He goes on to say, if you seek me, remember, then you'll call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with what? All your heart. He didn't say, if you seek me and ask for an answer to your plans, then you'll find the answers. He didn't say that if you're looking for a solution and you seek me, then you'll find a solution. He said, no, if you seek me, him personally, with all your heart. Let me share this. My little grandkids comes in my house on a daily basis, and they come to Nana. Nana, ice cream! And Nana always has some ice cream. She goes and finds the ice cream, gives them some ice cream. And that's okay. But what really touches my wife's heart is when she walks in the door and the three of them comes, what do you call it, running, piling through the hallway and says, Nana's here, Nana's here. And they grab her legs because they can't reach any higher. And the other ones jump and hugs her. That makes her feel they actually love me, not just for the ice cream, but for who I am. So there's a picture here, my friends, that if you truly seek him with all your heart, then the plan that he has for you will begin to unfold, even though you at the moment may not see what that's going to look like. Amen. So who is this God that you're supposed to know? Who is he? I was at the hairdresser. Thanks to you guys who noticed. I had to walk in the door and says, my wife, look at what she said. And I said, don't you see something different? And then she clicked, oh, your hairdo. So it's in the hairdresser's. And the hairdresser was clip, clip, clip. And I could tell he wanted to talk, but he didn't know what to say. And he actually said, I'm not very good at conversing, am I? So I thought, okay, you want to converse? I'll converse. And so I said, do you believe in God? And he said, well, I had a pastor once who said, it's like a positive energy. I said, wow. Is that positive energy that you believe in, is that a person? And he said, well, I don't really know. I think so, but maybe not the way we think of a person. So then I said, do you know why Jesus came? And he said, something to do with sin, isn't it? And I thought, well, that's a good start. But the real truth is that he came so that we could actually know God as a person. And he dealt with sin on the cross so that we could actually come to know a holy God intimately. My friend, this Jesus, and I didn't say all this rest, okay? I stopped there. I just stopped. Keep my mouth. At this point, my friends, I want to tell you who this Jesus is. He is my Savior. He is my Deliverer. He is my Healer. He is the bright and the morning star. He is the fairest of 10,000. He is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. He is still heaven's hope and hell's dread. He is still God's provider and is always there. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's the husband of widows. He's the father of the orphans. He's the lamb slain for the sinners, the lion of Judah. He's the light of the world, the king of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He's the God of hope. He's the God who holds your future in his hands if you will let him. He is my God. He is the Alpha and he is the beginning. He is the beginning and the end. He is the King of Kings. He is the creator of the universe. The heaven has been created through him. He is God Almighty in persons coming as the Son of God, that you and I can have relationship with God, that he, the Father of heaven, can say, you are my son. You are my daughter. I have not forsaken you. I know the end from the beginning. If you will just let me show you, and I will begin to unfold the plan I have for you. How many says amen to that? So, my friends, how many knows that the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto the path, and the Word is Jesus, How many know that he leads you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake? How many know that when you go through the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, that he will not leave you. He will comfort you by his rod and his staff. How many knows that he is the way, the truth, and life? He's the way into the future. He's the way into the future he has for you. And it comes when you embrace him, when you embrace who he really is, when you go to know him, he will bring you to that place. My friends, we are going from glory to glory. We are going to the best place. Hope means the best is still to come. I know some of you need to hear that today. Amen. So I want to talk about a man, a contemporary to Jeremiah. One of those who was taken captive. This is 600 and some years before Christ. He was a young man, probably 16, 15, taken captive, maybe 14, I'm not sure, by Nebuchadnezzar, brought to Babylon, and he was chosen among, together with three of his friends, to become a servant, to govern the Jews in Babylon, those who had been taken captive. How many knows who I'm talking about? His name is Daniel. And Daniel had lost everything. He lost his home. He lost his family. He's lost in his mind the future that he had planned out for himself. He was completely in the hands of an evil tyrant. Except his heart was in the hands of God. And how do I know that? Because when he came to Babylon, he was asked to not look so skinny. He was asked to be fattened up and look like one of those Babylonians. So he was to eat some meat and drink some wine, and he refused. And he says in Daniel chapter 1, why should I defy? But Daniel resolved, let's read it together. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Because the food and the wine had been offered to idols. And he didn't want to defile himself. My friends, when you grow close to knowing God of heaven, your mind, your heart changes. And you begin to have the desires of the things of God. He doesn't even have to tell you what that is. You simply want what he wants. And this man knew that if he engaged in participating in food that was sacrificed to these idols, he'll defile his soul. My friends, if you want to grow close to the living God, there are things you've got to have to avoid. There are movies you're going to have to turn off. There are things you're going to have to stop doing. Or you can't go there. How many believe that's true? You can. I mean, I can even tell you this. Sometimes I go in a room and the conversation is defiling me. How many have ever been in a room where a conversation defiles you? They are tearing down somebody. And I'm going to have to say, God bless you. I got to leave. Because I can't wear that. I can't carry that. Amen? When you grow close to knowing this God, he'll show you the things that please him. And Daniel was willing to take a risk. Because when you oppose Nebuchadnezzar, he's not a democratic kind of guy. If he doesn't like you, that's his answer. He took the risk. Not knowing how the consequences was going to be. But praise God, the guy in charge heard Daniel and he allowed him to eat vegetables and drink water for 10 days. And if he was better than the other ones, he would continue to do it. So they said, bless you, Daniel, and him and his friends did not defile themselves. Are you with me so far? The next year or so, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Remember? And he had no interpretation. He wanted somebody to interpret his dream. And so he asked all the wise men, astrologers, horoscopes readers, tea leaves readers, to come and tell him about the dream. But he trapped them. He said, you tell me my dream. I'm not going to tell you my dream. You tell me my dream. And he said, how can we? You got to tell us a dream first so we can interpret it. He says, Because if you do that, I know you might make it up. No, you tell me the dream. And he said, we can't. So Nebuchadnezzar got angry and says, I'm going to kill them all. So the chief captain of the guard went to Daniel, and Daniel said, what's all this? And he explained to him that all the wise men, and you see Daniel and his three friends were part of the wise men. They're going to kill him. How many think that Daniel needed some help? We read the end of the story, but we don't see what he saw. He saw that there was no way out of this apart from God. How many are in a place there's really no way out of this apart from God? But Daniel knew that there was a God of hope, a God with answers. And so he turned and said to his friend, pray, because we need you, God, to step in. And so he prayed, and in the middle of the night, at least that's how I see it, he had a revelation of the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. Are you with me so far? So the next morning, he calls the captain, bring me to Nebuchadnezzar. But you know what he did? Before he did that, he said to the captain, don't kill these other people. If you are a man of God who knows God, you'll always stand in the gap of other people. Always stand in the gap of other people. Even people who do not believe in God. He said, don't kill them, don't kill them. God has given me a revelation. Bring me to Nebuchadnezzar. He goes to Nebuchadnezzar, tells him, I know your dream. The dream is there was a flashing sculpture. It was a soldier with a helmet of gold. And there was a breastplate and arms of silver. And there was a stomach covered with bronze. And there was thighs covered with bronze. And there was two legs of iron. And there was feet mixed with iron and clay. And he goes on to explain that the helmet, the head, that's you, Nebuchadnezzar. That's your kingdom. But then comes another kingdom that is less powerful and is made of silver. And it turns out, if you look at the history of this, it turns out to follow directly in the next 600 years how one empire came upon another empire. The Medes, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire came. The Roman Empire, the legs, the iron legs. It all followed. He prophesied that 600 years ahead. Now, here's my point. Because that's not how it ends. You see, he says, I also saw a rock that was carved out, not by human hands. And that rock smashed the feet. And the whole thing came tumbling down. And that rock grew to encompass the whole earth. And he said, that just means that's a kingdom. That's a kingdom that's been manifested on earth that will last for how long? Forever. All these kingdoms, except the last one. How many knows his kingdom is going forth in the earth today. His kingdom will never end. His kingdom is the kingdom that Jesus came to usher in. His kingdom is going to go forth through you. His kingdom is going forth through his kids. Who downstairs right now is learning about who this king is. Who goes to school and they're told that there is no Jesus. My friends, these kids is the kingdom of God. You are the king's child. And one day, and this is where it has not come through yet, he's coming back. And he will rule and reign on this place. Daniel foresaw it hundreds of years before it took place. Why? Because God could see it and revealed it to him. Do you think if God can do that, he can also see your future? So let me go further. I'm going to fast forward the story. I love Daniel. How many loves reading the book of Daniel? I think that's an amazing book. I just want to say, go 70. Actually, he's probably now 90 years old. He's really an old man. And in Daniel chapter 9, it says he opens the scriptures. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, who was made ruler of the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. Where did he get that from? He got it from the very thing we just read at the beginning of the sermon. In Jeremiah 29:11, that's where he got it from. Jeremiah 29:10, that's where he got it from. Hear me. If you want to seek God, you need to be people of the Word. Hope comes from a promise. Hello? Hope comes from his promise. Thank you, Adina. What is faith? According to Hebrews, faith is assurance of what we hope for. And the substance or the certainty of what we do not yet see. It comes from his promise. Daniel looks up in the scriptures and says, I have a plan for you, God says. It is to what? To prosper you. It is to make you whole. It makes you complete. It's not to harm you. I shared before that this prosper, the word prosper means shalom. It means saved, healed, whole. Not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope. And he says, 70 years of captivity, and then you'll go home. Daniel looks on the calendar. He's an old man. 70 years has passed. He knew it was today. And my friends, this is what I see him do that we need to learn from. When we receive that promise, don't just sit there. Because when God has a promise, he always looks for people who will participate in his plan. Hello? When God gives a promise and he gives a revelation of what he wants to go with this, he always looks for people who wants to participate. So what did Daniel do? And this is the interesting thing about God Almighty, all-powerful, and us. Our choice, his will, my will. Daniel sits down And he began to pray and fast for 21 days. Do you know what he does? He repents. But because he knows his God and his God's love and plan for his people, he doesn't just repent for himself. He doesn't say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. He goes and says, Lord, forgive your people, the Hebrews, for their sins and all that we have done. And he includes himself against you. You see, when you come to know God, you come to know his love for people. And it's no longer about you, only you. It is really about his plan to further his kingdom. He stands in a gap. And if you read Nehemiah, you'll see how the Jews came back to Jerusalem, how they rebuilt the walls, and how this whole prophecy came to pass. So the question then is, if Daniel had not prayed, would it have not have happened? How many have ever thought that? If you didn't pray, would certain things not happen? I don't really have a full answer to that. Except I know this. If Daniel had not prayed, Daniel will not have been used by God to fulfill God's plan for Daniel. I know that much. So, my friends, we have a choice. We can reject as the Hebrews did before they end up in captivity. We can reject his plan, or we can embrace it. And the way you embrace it is by getting to know him intimately. Thank you. I was reading a story about a man called Thomas Tarrant. Thomas Tarrant was grew up in Alabama. He lived in the time when there was a lot of racism against the blacks, Jews. I mean, by the way, I read the news lately. There's been a lot of attack against the Jews again. And Thomas read all kinds of hate literature against the Jews and the blacks. And him and a friend, he was in high school, but him and a friend, a teacher, decided to kill a Jewish businessman. And so they went into the bushes, and they had guns, and they waited for the businessman to come home. But the police had got wind of their plan, and they were waiting for him to come. They were waiting for them to step out of the bushes. When they stepped out of the bushes, their friend was killed, and he ended up with 4 bullets in his body. He was brought to the hospital. The doctor said, you shouldn't have lived, but we're going to help you. And he survived, got in prison. He got 30 years in prison, lifetime, and for that and other things. And in prison, they decided to escape. So 6 months into this, they decided to run away. And in hiding, they took turns guarding. And he said he stood guard. And then there was the next person's turn, and he went to sit down. And the next person stepped up. And as soon as the next person stepped up, he got killed by the police. He was brought back in prison. Was brought into a cell for years, isolation cell. And in the isolation cell, he opened the scriptures because there was really nothing else to do. And he began to discover God's promise of forgiveness of sin and God's promise for his future. He began to discover his bitterness, his hatred, and his need for healing. of his heart. And he cried out to Jesus to save his soul. I mean, Billy, that's the beginning step into the kingdom and the future that God has. Amazingly, he got released after 8 years. He went to seminary and became pastor of a multicultural church full of Hispanics, blacks, whites, and spent pastoring for the rest of his life until he retired. He would never in the whole world have thought that he was going to be a pastor when he was in high school. But when he surrendered his life, God's plan began to unfold. Okay. When he surrendered his life, God's plan began to unfold. How many likes that? My friend, the way it does that is you begin, the way you put your future in his hands, is you begin to trust him. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own, but what? But in everything, acknowledge him. And what will he do? He'll direct your path. Trust the Lord. Psalm 31:14. David says, "For I hear him many whispering, terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life." But he made a choice. What did he do? "But I trust in you, Lord. I say you're my God." Jesus says, in this world, my friends, you will have all kinds of troubles. But do not lose heart, because I have what? I'll come over the world. I do not give as the world gives. I give you my peace I leave with you. Hallelujah. My life has never been so exciting as when I embraced him. And it's not necessarily all that he has done for me, because he's done lots for me, but it's the excitement of knowing him. And it takes a choice. It takes you a willingness for you to spend some time searching out God. And he says, and you will find him. And when you find him, he'll begin to direct your path. So, Paul, let's come. So, Father, there are people here today who is wondering what the future holds for them. They are wondering, maybe even wondering where you are, God. Maybe they have questions, sir, they want answers to. There are some needs that they want an answer to. They need you to step in. And so, Lord, the first step for all of us is to embrace you for who you really are, to know you and your promises. And the second thing is to repent from embracing and trusting idols, things that has no eternal value. And thirdly, it is to literally put our life into your hands and say, as Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Father, there's nothing that's as hopeless that you cannot overcome it. There's no depth of despair that is so deep that you can't bring us out of it. There's no brokenness or pain that is so hurtful that you can't bring healing and comfort. There's no fears so overwhelming that you can't bring hope. Father, so this morning, as a church in Maple Creek, we give you our lives. Have your way, God. Your kingdom come in us as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. I'm going to sing this song.